Welcome into the Grasscutter Social Club, a social club for the everyman. If you've ever wondered what three average guys and maybe that other random dude are buzzing about after the lawns are all mowed, this is the spot for you. Now here are your hosts, Branko, Burl, and Ron.
Oh man, we are back and I'm excited. This week we're going to take it easy this week and it's just the three of us. Branks, Ron, it's good to see you guys.
Mm-hmm. Great to see you, boys.
Happy New Year, guys. Nice to be back.
Got to stop writing 2025 on the blackboard for the kids. They fucking chew me out every time for it. It's 2026 now. but let's start. You know what? Let's start with a little holiday recap. I think we were planning on talking a little bit about some food. It seems as though Megan's family has started a new tradition that I wouldn't mind sharing with you guys. And then maybe we'll talk some New Year's resolutions. I know I've got a whole bucket full that, that I've fallen off the deep end into. So, why don't I get us started? Megan's family, I don't know if you guys knew this, but her sister is a Christmas Day birthday, which arguably might be the worst day for a birthday. Like I can't think of a worse day. What's a worse day for a birthday than Christmas Day?
9/11, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe Halloween, October 31st. Nobody gives a hang about you on October 31st. They just want to go collect their candies. But yeah, so for her birthday every year, we just sort of do appetizers and we get together. And what's nice is that at least a lot of those frozen appetizers and you know, I've worked a little bit at getting better at some easy appetizers to make. I like these bacon wrapped water chestnuts that are pretty nice. Little soy sauce, little Worcestershire, little brown sugar, and they are so good, caramelized in the oven. But I'm loving the appetizers, finger foods, as easy as it can get, right? Like I just want to rinse a platter, dry it, and put it away. If I have to scrape like lasagna cheese off of stuff, or you know when you leave the mashed potatoes in the pot too long and like they're just baked in there. There is nothing worse than after a long day, then you've got a mountain of some of the hardest dishes to clean on the planet. So I'm a big fan of finger foods and just sort of pick as you go. The kids like it, right? That's easy. Because the kids just eat what they want and nobody has to worry about upsetting grandma because they didn't eat their ham or turkey or whatever. So it's a new tradition that I'm really getting behind and I'm encouraged. We've done it, I think we've done it 3 years in a row now at our place on Christmas night. And it's super easy. Just a dining room table full of finger foods. Everybody just picks as they go and
just grazing. Just grazing at it all.
How many people participate, Ryan?
Megan's the youngest of six. So this year I believe we had 21 at our place.
Okay.
And when her sister is in town from Australia with her kids, we're up to like 26.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so tell, what was the best thing you ate and what was the worst thing you ate in that smorgasbord?
Megan started making these like phyllo pastries and they ended up bigger than you think. They're probably the size of like a coaster, I guess, or a hockey puck. And they're open in the middle. And then there's like a Borsan cheese mixture.
Ooh, now you got me.
So it's just buttery pastry with Borsan cheese. And like, it's way too much cheese. It's like a heaping, like it's half a Borsan. Oh my God.
No way it's a half a Borsan. That's like $4.
It feels like it. It's way too much cheese. It's such an expensive, like it's the best though. I love it. And then the worst thing, I'm going to be honest, like I love a charcuterie board. When it's Megan and I love a charcuterie board. And there's nothing like grazing on one. But I don't know. I just feel like it's a little straightforward. Like there's not a ton going into it. So I think maybe that was
the plain cheese and the nuts and
yeah, it might have been a little played out for me, you know. I definitely like, I'm not a fan. The kids like the kielbasa on the charcuterie board. Mm-hmm. I might think that that's my least favorite of the deli meats. Kielbasa is something I'm not like in a rush to scoop off the kids' plates. I don't know how you guys feel about kielbasa versus some of the other deli meats, but I just find sometimes it's too fatty.
For me. It's a notch below salami for sure.
Still, how about you guys? Any traditions or delectable food that you couldn't pass up? Branks, like your mantra, I'm going to let you drop it on everybody because I fucking want to make t-shirts and like get a double XL t-shirt with that printed across the chest.
Since start of last year, my whole thing was to just like be healthy. And I think I've kept to that promise pretty well. Lost a little bit of weight, trying to like exercise more, you know, be cognizant about what I'm putting in. But like, Christmas is always a dilemma because there's just not enough time, especially with kids now, to like get the exercise and, you know, eat right. Like your days are a little less regimented, right? So like it can get a little loosey goosey. So I was just saying, like, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to try to do some exercise, but I'm just going to eat whatever the fuck I want. Like, restrict your plates off. Like, there's nothing stopping me from just indulging in whatever that day sort of brings. And I went down to my aunt's kind of like the 20th of December. And from then till basically I was back at work on the 4th or 5th, it was just full gas eating whatever I felt like. Now, I didn't, not every day was crazy, but like there were certainly days where, you know, I guess I'll talk about some of this stuff. So I went to visit my aunt. She lives in Richmond, Virginia, kind of a quaint town. I ate some really good pizzas. I kind of did some research and I found some good pizza spots. I had this white pizza. I've been really getting into trying like different pizzas, and the white pizza is really tickling my fancy these days. I don't know where you guys land on white pizza, but very good. Also, visiting my family comes with like a lot of Bosnian goods, Bosnian desserts that my aunt knows that I like. One of which is this like simple kind of like cake that's made with those, like, I don't even know how to describe them. They're just like plain cookie wafers that you kind of wet in milk, and then there's like a chocolate ganache kind of thing going on. Anyways, I was eating that like it was like, I don't even know, like it was going out of style, like she wasn't going to make it again for me or something. Like I ate so much of it at the randomest parts of the day when I felt like it, and that certainly added to the calorie count. Here back home, speaking of hors d'oeuvres, we had Caitlin's parents over for dinner, and I made steak and these like really good crispy potatoes, which whatever. But I found this really great recipe for an hors d'oeuvre with puff pastry, and you basically like cut it into squares, and then you just kind of slice one side up the middle to the half, and then in one quadrant you put a little bit of breakfast sausage, in one quadrant you put a little bit of cheese, like grated cheese, and then in one quadrant you put some fig jam, and then you just fold it over into a little square, and you put egg wash with everything seasoning and just pop it in the oven. I got like rave reviews about that. I thought myself it was quite delicious. Now, my only problem was that I underestimated how big the squares were. So when they cooked, they were more like a breakfast sandwich than they were like hors d'oeuvre. So it was a bit much for like a single, but it was something that I feel like I want to try again, because I thought it was a really tasty little thing that didn't take a lot of effort, but like the visual and the tasty appeal and like the feedback from everybody was good. So I would say that's kind of the gist of my whole break, and then, you know, fill in the gaps with like baked goods and, you know, all sorts of other pastries that came along the way, and of course like Christmas cookies that either I made or my in-laws sent me. So The big fellow was eating good. That's my holiday update. Take it as you.
That is awesome. Nice. Restrict your plates off. Sounds like you crushed it.
I ate enough. Yeah. How about you, Ronnie?
Yeah. I've never had a restrictor plate in my life, so the holidays are good for me on that front. Now, I'd say, you know, some of the highlights, my sister makes some of the Christmas baking recipes that my mom used to make. So that's probably number one. I love that when she brings the tray over and I got all those same kind of treats that I grew up with. And that's always probably a highlight for me. Other than that, I definitely went pretty heavy on the cheese. yeah, like, you know, good. Even some blue cheese, the Boursin is just top notch. Oh, I love that. Good. Down anything, a cracker.
Spread it and on then, a flip-flop and I'd eat it.
And then, you know, something we had talked about before, Branko, the baking steel for the pizzas. So I got a sheet of baking steel as a gift over the holidays.
Oh,
so
nice.
I had that going. And yeah, instantly better crust than my pizza stone.
Game changer.
The thick baking steel. I got a thick, like it is heavy.
It's super heavy. You got to be really careful. One-handed. Yeah, you got to be super careful with it and like storing it. Like if you have one of those little drawers, like you got to make sure it's upright and that like it won't fall on top of something because it literally was smashing. Like, mine has to weigh like 50 pounds, 40 pounds,
right? Yeah,
it's heavy and it's like kind of awkward, right? Because mine's like 14 by 18, like it's like a picture frame that's weighs 50 pounds. It's insane,
yeah. So that was a highlight. Made a bunch of pies, yeah. Trying out some different dough concoctions, you know, the right amount, this or that, this much water, that, you know, all that stuff. So it's good.
Nice. Great. Now, when you get these cookies from your sister, I assume there's a bunch. Like, do your kids like the cookies? And then is there ones that you like more than that, like you want more of than some other ones? You know, if, let's say you've got like a selection of five or six. Are you like, is there one kind that you like the most? And are you just like telling your kids to beat it, like not touching these because these are your favorite? How does that go? Like, because between Caitlin and I, there's obviously like ones I know she likes more and ones that she knows I like more. But I wonder how that works in your family.
My sister definitely makes enough that it comes around a few times over the holidays before it gets depleted. Like there's no shortage there. I think my dad probably likes the Nanaimo's. The Nanaimo bars the best.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say my brother and I like these kind of, they're made with like the bran flakes with like a caramel on the bottom with like a chocolate with a swirl mixed in on the top.
They're like a bar? Are they like a magic cookie bar?
Yeah, it's a bar. Ooh, yeah. Nice.
You said bran flakes and what else, Ron?
Yeah, it's like, I guess I'd call it like corn flakes almost kind of thing. It's like you mix it in and so it's a bit airy and it's like a caramel. Yeah, almost like a caramel butterscotch kind of thing in a way. I'm not awesome. Doing it justice.
I feel like I'm gonna have to start looking up recipes for brand bars because like this sounds very intriguing.
I'll have to find the proper name for it.
Yeah.
And share that for our show notes maybe.
Nice. Like do your kids like
maybe the lemon beers? Bars? You know.
Yeah. Do your kids like the cookies that your sister makes?
Yeah. They like them all. Like you know those ones that are like the white circle balls with a little dollop of chocolate.
Yeah.
They're like kind of white with the chocolate mixed in. I forget what those are called, but it's like a classic Christmas kind of cookie. You know what I mean? Like they're made like to be perfect circles.
Yep.
They have a little dollop. I like those too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the one biters are always nice because you can just kind of like, as you're cruising by in the kitchen, like you can snipe one and put it in your mouth and without like, you know, like being disturbed. Like those are sort of my favorites. There's other ones that are like a bit more like, oh, I got to get a napkin so I don't make a mess of the powdered sugar. But the ones that you can just kind of snipe, put in your mouth and carry on. That's the shit.
That's so good. Yeah. Branks, before we carry on, and I'll give you guys a couple minutes to make some up off the top of your head, because I know you guys didn't pick actual New Year's resolutions. But are you just on the white pizza, or have you had it here in Ottawa before?
No. The place in Hamilton here makes an amazing white pizza with, like, the base is like it's like a truffle base. And then, like, there's like a bunch of different cheese, but it's excellent. And they throw a little bit of honey on there. Like, it's just so good, and it's so different. And then in my quest to find like really good pizza in Richmond, I reached out to some like guy I follow on Instagram who just happened to be from there, and he put me on a few places, and one of them had this white pizza that was just so damn good. And the funny story of it was like I was just down there with my son, so like I put him down to sleep, and then I was like, I'm gonna go get this pizza on my own. But I had to drive a little bit. It was like 20 minutes away. And I just sat there like in front of the place. It wasn't a sit-down place. It was like just takeout only. Just sitting in my car, my dad's car, eating this pizza. Like I was like I hadn't eaten in days. Like I was so ravenous for this pizza. And I don't know. Like it was really – I tried that. And another thing I tried that I didn't mention was a vodka pizza, which I've been getting into wanting to make at home. I tried making a vodka sauce recently for pasta, which turned out great. And I want to try putting it on a homemade pizza just to try something different. That's not like ingredient heavy. It's more like flavor different. Like I don't like putting a ton of ingredients on my pizzas, but I do like the different bases and like how you stack the cheese and what kind of cheese. That's sort of been the thing I've been exploring.
Okay, well, you're sounding pretty fancy, but I got a good white pizza story for you. My friend Amanda, like Megan's best friend Amanda, but we like to try different stuff. Like basically when we drive past a hole in the wall and we think to ourselves, like, I wonder if that's good, but you never really stop. We always make sure that like, okay, that goes on the list. We got to order something from there. And Amanda's shtick is whenever she goes to these places, she basically just walks in and ask them what to order, like what's the best thing to order. And she lives down close to Carling and Merivale. And Branks, you're going to laugh when you hear this, but she walked into the fucking House of Lasagna one time because we were talking about like, is this place actually good for lasagna? Is it actually good for pizza? And she walked in and she said right away, she's like, what am I ordering for my friend and I for takeout? Like, tell me what to get, and fully expecting them to say, well, you're getting the lasagna and get the fuck out of here. And they said right away, you're getting the white pizza. It's the best in the city. And she was like, oh, okay. And she brought this white pizza over, Branks. And I don't know whether it's because it was the first time I had had it, but it was like bananas. How fucking good it is. Do you know that place on Merivale, the House of Lasagna? Every time I drive past for the last 20 years, I've driven past thinking like, wow, place is still open. Because
Ryan, where on that corner is it? Because if Carlingwood Mall, but Westgate Mall is there on like the southeast side. Or
so Westgate side. Mall is probably another block up from it. It's really close to that, like, I think it's R&R Motors and that European... two like used car lots like right next to it, and then there's the porn store and the Three Amigos. It's that little stretch.
It's a little bit up Merivale, like okay. No, I don't think I've ever really paid attention to it, but
I was gonna premise with your parents might know, because there was this odd like Serbian European deli literally like in the parking lot next door to it for years.
That's where it is. Yeah. No, I've been to that deli lots of times. It's Bosnian for sure.
Exactly. Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. No, next door to that is just this like brown building that's been there since the 70s or 80s. It's never changed a goddamn thing. And that white pizza from that place was bad.
The white pizza is also good because it's not like pepperoni. Like, not that there's anything wrong with pepperoni, but pepperoni is a little bit more filling because it's got the meat. But like, white pizzas are typically just cheese, right? Mm. It's just a different cheese pizza. And I don't know what it is, but man, yeah, it's just really, really good. And a really good like switch up. I think it often surprises people how good it can be. And I'm happy to hear it. And I wanted to say there's something, and I do like this approach. There's just something to be said about going to eat and being surprised in a good way, which is like that, like you have no inhibitions about like what this place is and asking the owner or the servers like what's good and just getting that or letting them pick. It's just fun way. It's almost like, you know, there's just no weight to the decision. It's just like, they're telling me this is good, I'm going to try it and see how it goes, you know?
100%. New Year's resolutions. You clowns pretending like you're going to do something to improve yourself this year or what?
I wrote a couple down.
Good for you.
One of them that's actually related, I said I wanted to write down some of my recipes. Not a recipe book, but I wanted to actually start to write some of these things down.
Good idea. You
know, make a little collection of them. So that's one I probably want to share. And then a whole bunch of golf-related stuff.
Oh, God. Sure. Give me. I want some more.
You know, I don't know. I don't think I've ever had a double bogey-free round. So I'd like to, I want, like that one I should be able to knock off. Let's do that. Double bogey free round. I mean, I'd love to reach a single digit handicap. If I could get to a 9.9 at some point, I'd be thrilled.
Where are you at now, Ronnie?
I'm at a 12, and then the lowest I got was like 11.3.
Oh, yeah, you'll get there, no doubt.
Need a few good ones.
Yeah.
And then if I could do 30 rounds again, those are my top three golf ones, so.
18 hole rounds?
30 rounds. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
30, yeah. Putting in work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hard work. You know, you gotta get to it, though.
I love it. Branks, buddy?
Yeah. I mean, I think continue to live healthy, like try to keep working out and keeping up. Like, doing it for a year is great. And I feel pretty proud, like, of how I feel and what it's been like to do that for a year, but it's kind of hollow if you do it for a year and then just revert back to old habits. It's like continuously doing it and living that lifestyle. So that would be one, just keep it up sort of thing. And then like one thing I feel like Caitlin and I are both bad for is like, we never find time for ourselves. So I was saying to her, we should do more date nights. I didn't put a number on it because it's always tough to get babysitters and stuff, but our kids are getting older, so it should be easier to find somebody that can manage those demons. So, you know, something like in the 6 to 8 range for the year would be nice. Just mom and dad outings. That's something I would like.
Nice. I wrote down 5. I put down 5 for Jess and I.
Like, okay. Let's do 5. I don't know. 6 to 8 are wishful. Right, we did 2 all of last year, so.
Yeah, that's where Megan and I are at,
basically. Yeah, it's basically birthday ones. Like, that's all we get. And then, golf-wise, I would love to shoot under par. Like, I think that's – I've been sniffing around, and it's close. And I've – you know, when we had Nico, like, my game really went in the tank. And then last year, by the end of the season, I was starting to sort of figure it out a little bit. And I've been in the sim a bit, and I feel like I've sort of figured some, or feel like I'm figuring stuff out. So I'm excited for this upcoming season and trying to break that. That would be a personal, like, lifetime achievement if I could do a legitimate round under par. I'd be pretty thrilled. And then, yeah, I don't know. I'm just excited, like, for the golf trip again this year. We're doing Turning Stone. That's not a goal for 2026, but that's just something I always get very excited about, because it's always just such a good time. So my goal is to have a lot of fun playing golf, I guess, if that
can be cool. Nice.
Rod, what about you, man? What do you got?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I fell off the deep end. My problem is that last year I was going into last year making, like, I made way too many, same as I did this year, but I was going in with the intent of, like, really getting my act together before I'm 40. And I think it kind of resonated with me when you said, like, some of the stuff's a little hollow sometimes if you're not sticking with it. And when I stopped drinking, I kind of thought a lot of things were really going to click into place. I was going to really shed some pounds. And I did see, like, those extra ones that I carry fall off pretty quick. But I'm still, like, stuck at 200 pounds, which is still way too heavy for my size and my frame. And it's just because I wasn't doing anything else, right? Like, so when I turned 40 and I realized I'd spent the last 9 months doing fucking nothing to change since the New Year's, I really got on my ass a little bit. So it's funny. I said I was going to read more books in 2025. And then all of a sudden in September, something just clicked. And I read, like, I've probably read 7 books since September, since my birthday. And nice. For audiobooks, I've probably listened to 20, 25 audiobooks. Just, I walk the dog so much, it's easy right. to plow yeah. through them. So not many educational ones, but at least just for my own benefit and entertainment, it's fun to just not be on the screen so much, you know? Mm-hmm. And then just before Christmas, probably 2 weeks before Christmas, I started to get my diet together really well. I've been eating a lot cleaner. I've been exercising almost every day. This is the first week. I normally take 1 day off every week, but this is the first week where I've taken 2 off. I took 1 off tonight, and I took off Sunday night to just chill with Megan. But tonight I had a dinner with my whole family, and goddamn, I was feeling too heavy and slow to go downstairs and bang out a bunch of push-ups and and stuff like that. So, but the big thing that I'm trying this year is to just be kinder to myself, right? Like, when I miss a night like tonight, just sort of saying, like, well, I walked the dog for 45 minutes this morning, then I took her to Bruce Pitt for an hour before dinner, and I walked her for 15 minutes before I came on here. So I feel like 2 hours of walking is enough to make up for what I missed.
Oh,
you know, in the gym.
That's well put, man. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, we're just, all you guys with the really youngins, like, you're in the busiest part, man, honestly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, cut yourself a break.
Exactly. Just being kinder to myself, because I also know, like, we all know February is going to come around, and stuff's going to, like, all this stuff that I've done really, really well for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks could fall off a bit, but I don't need to kill myself over it either. Right. Like, I just need to just, you know, be kinder for, and give myself a break for 4 or 5 days if I need it, and then get back on the horse. Because the problem is, you kill yourself over it, and then you're just not in the mood to do it again. Right.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. My big one is to just be a little kinder to myself when I'm, you know, when I'm frustrated with the kids, or when I fuck up something around the house or with the car or whatever, it's not a big deal. It doesn't,
yeah. Don't sweat the small things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You can, and like, I found you can really, like, beat yourself up about the minutiae of all the different things you're doing. I think mm-hmm. it's like more of like a mindset. Like, as long as you're doing it and you're, like, you know, conscious about that you're doing it. Yeah. So you, like, eat an extra slice of pizza here, or, you know, do something else there. Like, in the aggregate, you're still net positive. So, like, you can't really beat yourself up about it. I think it's the approach that matters more, that you're, like, consciously thinking about it most of the time. That's where I felt like over the, like, last year and a bit that I've done it. Like, yeah. You can't micromanage every day. And, like, you know, especially with kids, it's just, like, some days are, it's going to be hard to do that. But if, you know, for me, I find if I can do it Monday to Friday when it's work, because, like, the days are more regimented, it's a hell of a lot easier. And then on the weekend, like, whatever happens, happens kind of thing.
Yeah. The other thing that, like, you know, I've been thinking about a lot lately, probably since the New Year, is just, and I know that this will resonate with you guys because I feel like you're of a similar ilk, but I put my kids before myself. I put my wife before myself. I put my dog before myself. I've got the house that I, you know, I would break my back over to make sure everything's running right here, you know, and then there's our jobs and our careers. And it feels like I'm so low on the totem pole that if I'm going to be fucking hard on myself too while I'm down there, it's like, you know what I mean? I don't need to be kicking myself or stepping on myself when I'm already that low on the totem pole, right? When we're all working so hard to hold these other people up and make sure that everybody's, you know, fucking breathing and fed and clothed and all this shit, right? Like, I don't need any extra stuff kicking me down, let alone it being me doing it to myself. So
yeah, especially the mental stuff, like that's almost as important as the physical, right? Like you can't get near it and feel like that, you know. You do the best you can, and like if you feel like you can put your head on your put your head on your sort of pillow and know that you tried your best, that's all you can do. Like
it's never
going to be perfect, you know, and when the days that it is perfect, you can look back and be like, oh sweet.
Yeah, well, on this wholesome note, let's take a little break and we'll come right back in just a second, guys.
Yeah.
You boys need a beer or a bathroom break or anything?
You know what? It's so funny. I bought that night we were hosting my in-laws. I bought 4 tall boys thinking like, okay, like I've got lots of whiskey, but in case my father-in-law wants a beer, I want a beer. You know, I got a couple tall boys, and those 4 tall boys are still sitting in my fridge. They just
really,
I don't know. The beer is not as much of a draw when it's not like sunny and outside and like, I just can't bring myself to just have one for the sake of having one. And I don't know about you guys, but like, I just don't find beer improves like my food eating. Like I find, like, I just drink beer as like, you know, just to have, but I just don't find it improves. Like when I eat pizza or even wings, like, I don't think it makes it better. I think it does a disservice to those foods, but that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, you don't want to have, I mean, beer and wings, yeah, you can't eat as many wings. Like, if you just want to enjoy the wings, you get some water.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's my only thing. But I do like beer. Like, I like the taste of it in the summers. It's great. But just on a whole, like, just pouring one, sometimes it's just, like, it's less of a draw. I'd rather just I mixed a couple of those bourbon sours. I have, like, this recipe for a bourbon sour, which I think we talked about last year. And that's been... like it's a nice little drink to have, you know. It takes a second to mix together and it drinks smoother than just straight whiskey. But yeah, I don't know.
I think that's my thing with beer is it's, and you guys might get this too, it's more comparable to like smokes. Like, God, when people are having a dart, what do I want? I want to pass me a dart. I want to smoke. And if I'm watching people have beers, it's like, oh my God, that looks great. I want one of those. Like, it's one of those things where it's got that social aspect to it, where it is just a bit of a peer pressure draw. Like, you just see someone else with it and it's like, oof, yeah, that looks too good to pass up. I'll take 2, please.
For me, it's twofold. It's like beers and cigarettes. Like if I get the one, I'll get the other. Like shortening succession.
Might as well pile it on at that point.
They go together so damn well.
On a golf course, no less, dude. It's like the trifecta. Like on a golf course on a sunny day, I have a beer, and then it might as well be whole too. And I'm like, yeah, just fuck, it doesn't even matter. Just lay one up.
We talking football?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let me just hold on. Wait 1 second. I just want to get on the NFL site just so I can see the matchups that are coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I got it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Are some of these games? Okay, no, they're not going to be. Okay, yeah. All right, let's get after it. All right, we're back and we're talking NFL football, but. Before I throw to these guys, I'm putting them on blast. Sorry, boys, but our picks, episode 19, for those of you that don't necessarily follow us as regularly, we're reviewing the picks that we previously made on episode 19. And I'm going to be honest, they're abysmal. They're not pretty. So I myself, I picked a Bills-Eagles Super Bowl, and I'm going with the Bills, of course. But as some of you know, the Eagles are already out, so that's not happening. Our guest, George, he said Chargers and Lions, and the Lions didn't even make the playoffs. The Chargers are now well and truly gone, packing, so he sucked on his picks. Ron, you had the worst picks, buddy. Both your teams did not make the playoffs. Ron went Ravens, Lions, and I don't know how those two franchises fell on their faces after last year, but Ravens, Lions didn't even make it into the fun round. And then Branks, you went with my picks, and you said Bills, Eagles, and just because I'm a Bills guy, I have to assume you said the Super Bowl was coming home to Buffalo. But yeah. I didn't see that you made a final decision on a winner.
Well, even but, if I didn't, in retrospect, I'm choosing Bills, and you know why, because I'd like for you to tell our friends what we're going to do if the Bills make the Super Bowl.
Oh, we'll get to that, but let's start with some divisional round chatter. Like, who are you guys thinking looks good? Because I got a couple on my list that I'm sweating a little bit. Like, they're looking pretty wild. And I'm curious if you guys have the same impression as me. So, Ron, I know that you're going to say the one that I'm thinking of. So why don't you get us started with who's looking good leading into these last 3 weeks of football or 4 weeks of football. Ooh,
I actually don't know quite where you're going with that. I mean, I was definitely impressed with the Bills' resolve. I thought Allen was going to get concussed about 10 times in that game. I couldn't believe it. He's like one of the toughest in the league, got to be.
Absolutely.
The Bills were looking good. Pretty impressed with New England and what they did to keep the Chargers down like that. Only giving up 3. Pittsburgh, I don't know if Houston's for real. I mean, Houston defense looked amazing, but that Pittsburgh offense is kind of shit as it is. Yeah. So I don't know that that's the real deal. I mean, my favorite game of the divisionals of the wild card series was that Bears Packers game. You just can't count the Bears out all year. What they do, Caleb Williams, man. See? I don't know if they're going to beat the Rams, but they are an exciting team. I don't know.
Bears, this is why I threw it to you, Reg, because I knew you were going to get horny for Caleb Williams. Those Bears, those Bears are looking threatening. And Ben Johnson is clearly the coach that everybody thought he was last year when there was that frenzy to hire him. And Caleb Williams has somehow come, well, obviously with some coaching, has come into his own and is that guy. His arm off balance, off his left leg, throwing absolute darts. And then I saw, I don't know if you noticed in that game, Ron, so Caleb Williams on a 4th and 6 from his own 40. Did you see that play? So it was
gone. Yeah.
It was 4th and 6 from his own 40. And he ran around out of the pocket for a few seconds. Nothing came for him. And he was feeling pressure and was getting run back to like his own 20. And he just heaved it down for an interception. And the Packers guy caught it, which had he not caught it, the Packers would have been on the Bears 40, but because the Packers player caught it, he backed his own team up like 35 yards. And then Caleb Williams, there's a highlight of him making a signal to his coach that he did it on purpose, that he heaved an interception, that really? He heaved that interception, feeling the pressure coming, knowing that if the Packers caught it rather than just let it drop, they were going to give up a ton of field position. It was literally like a throwing punt. And wow. I was like, holy shit, if this kid is that smart that he knows to throw this punt away or whatever you want to call that, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with these Bears. Bears fans are walking around fully erect. These guys
This was like their Super Bowl. Like, honestly, if they lose, it's still a successful season having sent the Packers home.
Oh, just beating the Packers, yeah.
Yeah.
But I knew you were going to say the Bears, and that was the one that I came away from the weekend thinking, like, oof, that looked really good. They looked really good. Branks, buddy, did you see anything that that got you going, got you fired up?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been following as closely since I kind of quit playing fantasy football, but, like, you know, I read some articles and hear the chatter. I just don't know what to make of the Seahawks, because I saw that they were 14-3, and now they're getting to play the Niners. They got the bye, right? Like, they got So I don't know what to make of them. Like are they
their defense? Good?
Like, I don't know. Darnold to me is
so good.
Yeah. And then the 49ers, they're like a well-coached team, but they're always kind of falling short of expectations. So I kind of feel like the Hawks should win that at home. Rams and Bears. Give me some Rams. Like, I just think, like they're both kind of scratchy teams, but the Rams just have more offensive firepower. So I'll take the Rams in that one. The Bears just seem like they're playing from behind a lot, like you mentioned, but that's not a formula for long-term success. The one I'm the most interested about is Texans-Patriots, because they both seem like they're solid defensively and then just kind of, like, manage the offense. I don't know what to make of Drake May. I don't want to believe it's true that he's as good as everybody says he is. So I kind of want the Texans to win, and I really like Stroud a lot. I'm a big fan of his, and I think he's, like, sneaky good. I think people are probably, like, underselling that offense. So I'll give the Texans the win by a field goal, maybe their last-minute field goal to win it. And then Broncos and Bills, like, I fucking hate Sean Payton, and I just hate the Broncos. I want the Bills to win, but, like, I watched most of that Jags game, and, like, the Bills won, but, like, goddamn, did they almost shoot themselves in the foot, and it just never looked like a sure thing until they won, right? Like, until that last interception, you were just, like, waiting for the heartbreak. And I guess that's the experience with Buffalo all along, right? It's always these moments where you feel like they should do it, and then something crazy happens. You know, Norwood misses the field goal, and you're just kind of waiting for heartbreak, and we're just going to have to wait. Like, it's going to be, like, you know, edge of your seat watching for the Bills the whole time, and I hope they do it. So, I don't know much about the Broncos. I know Bo Nix is their quarterback. I don't think he's as good as Drake May, but they're 14-3, so he's got to be pretty damn good. So let's see what happens.
A lot of close wins for them. I think Jacksonville is one of the tougher tests. Like, I don't know. Like, the way Jacksonville was playing, the way they finished the year,
that defense was all over us. Holy cow, that defense was all over us.
Like, Denver, I don't know. I'm more than anything, I want to see the Bills win over Denver, especially. I had Bo Nix on my fantasy team this year. He's just kind of a punk. I don't really like him very much now. And Sean Payton's he could go fucking, he can get the fuck out of here. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. I think the Rams Bears is going to be the most exciting game. I could see that being like 42-39 kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be wild.
What I also like is that it's like feels wide open, because you don't have some of the staples. Like, Hurts isn't there. Mahomes isn't there. Tom Brady has been gone out of the league for 2 years now. Like, it just seems like anything could happen. And God damn it, if there was ever a year for the Bills to fucking do it, it's got to be this year. Like, all the dragons are not around to fucking slay. They just have to get through this, like, gauntlet of other teams that are also hungry for it. And I want to see it happen, you know? Like, I just want to see it for Buffalo.
Yeah, like, that city is just they just need it. They want it so bad. So I really want it for them, to be
honest.
Hockey
team's why I think the hockey team turning the corner. The hockey team's playing great.
Well, the thing that was making me laugh about the hockey team, it's funny you brought that up. I saw this thing on Instagram the other day of, like, the guys that they've traded away over the last 5 years and the talent that they've just moved out of there in the last 5 years. You wouldn't expect them to be any good still now. So obviously they have some scouts in their system that are bringing guys in that are wildly talented, but they just can't seem to keep them mentally in Buffalo, which I think is also an issue that we have in Ottawa. But anyways, for these NFL playoffs, like, I feel like the Niners-Seahawks is a battle of two inflated teams. Like, I'm not sure how the Niners have gotten where they are on the defense they have. They are literally running around on crutches, and somehow they've just been well coached enough to win all these games and keep going forward. And then the Seahawks, I don't think it was good for them to have a week off. I don't know if Sam Darnold has the mental fortitude to stew over playoff football for two whole weeks. So we'll see how he comes out. He can't come out slow. If he comes out slow and they don't score in the first half, it's going to be a Niners game the whole way. And then Rams, Bears, it's like you said, Ron, I think it'll be a high scoring game. It's going to be exciting and it's going to come right down to the wire. Texans, Patriots. It's interesting you talked about CJ Stroud, because I'm pretty sure for two games this year, Branks, pretty sure he was a healthy scratch, like back up, take a break. And for that guy mentally to come back in and then be sharp after spending some time on the pine, I was really impressed. I'm really impressed with that kid. But
yeah,
he was struggling to start the year off. I think he was
struggling in that game too. Yeah. Like, their defense, that Houston defense won them that game.
Yeah.
Like, they were put in some bad spots. There's some great defenses still in the playoffs here. Like, that's the Seahawks jam.
Yeah.
It's going to be sweet.
And I do think that the teams that are left are all just sort of balanced teams. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to win the game if both aren't firing on all cylinders. So we'll see. We'll see. I know that Houston did win that game on their defense, Ron, but also, like, they can't get away. Like, they got away with that against the Steelers, which, like, the Steelers didn't look great all year. And they're not going to get away with that again if that's how they come out. So I'm excited for this Buffalo Denver game. I think if Nix tries to throw on us, he's throwing against the number one pass defense in the league. So, and he loves to sling himself a couple INTs. So I'll be looking for him to make a couple mental errors early and give us some chances at a couple of freebies on a short field. So I think that'll be the difference, and hopefully we bring home the W. But I'm sure you guys are wondering what I got prepped, but I'll break it down for you. I booked us two rooms at the Hilton Garden Inn, downtown Buffalo. And when I say downtown Buffalo, it's like a block from City Hall, a block from the Buffalo Central Library. Like, all the big breweries and Canal Street and Pearl Street are all right there. I think Buffalo is a similar city to Ottawa. Like, I think the downtown is typically quieter for nightlife, and that a lot of these really big bars are more out in the suburbs. But I do know there's a couple of breweries downtown that I'm sure, like, if Buffalo's in the Super Bowl, people are going to head down there and pack those places full. And then my thoughts were, like, because I was going to book another spot that was probably 10 blocks, 12 blocks from the heart of downtown. And I was like, holy shit, on a cold night, if we needed to find an Uber or a taxi in that mob of people, like, no, we need to literally walk out the doors into a bar, walk out the bar, onto the street, party our butts off, and then right back into the hotel. And so we are in the absolute center of the city, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, that whole city is going to be throbbing if they're in the Super Bowl. I can't wait. If we can get down there on Saturday, get some wings in us, I've got a list of spots we could go to. I've got a couple of big breweries that'll for sure have space for a group like ours. And then we just need to figure out where we want to park it for that that Sunday game, and then probably find a spot for lunch that, that we're going to be comfortable in, because I bet it'll be it'll get busy quick down there. But I'm excited, and I don't think there'll be a better place to be on Earth if you're not in San Francisco for the Super Bowl than being in the heart of Buffalo, if they make it that far, because that city's so ready for it.
Like this, you obviously, like, for everyone that doesn't know, like, you did this last year, you had a plan, you booked the hotels, it didn't happen. You're doing it again this year. What is so awesome about this is, like, hey, let's hope it happens this year. But if it doesn't, it just continues to build, because until the trip happens. And then if we're waiting longer, like, it'll just be must happen stuff. Like, we'll end up having at some point, if it's 30 years from now, there'll be 35 guys coming down, because you've been talking about it every year, this or that.
Like, oh my God.
I hope it's this time. I hope.
But man, I love the lead up to it, because I remember last year they lost in the AFC Championship, right?
Yeah.
So close, and I remember getting excited about it. And I also like the notion that it's not like going to the Super Bowl city. We're just going to the city of the team that we want to be in the Super Bowl. So it makes it like more manageable. Like, I don't have to pay $3,000 to go to like the game. Like, I just go, I actually am going to hang out with like the townspeople, even though I'm not like a Buffalo fan by choice. Like, I'm choosing to cheer for Buffalo, and it would just be fun to be around all those people that like have so much invested in it, including yourself, Ryan.
I also think, like, I think it'll be a unique experience for us, because I'm trying to think of championships or like stuff that we've experienced that would be comparable. And I'll be honest, like, when Ottawa went to the Stanley Cup Finals, this city was going ballistic. But this city is still a mixed town, right? There's still Habs fans and Leafs fans, and it's a city divided, and we can be honest about that. And yeah, there was lots of bandwagon and people saying that we're Leafs fans, like, I hope Ottawa does this, and da, 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 da. But and it's, I think it's like that in Toronto with like the Raptors when they won, like a lot of bandwagon, but not a lot of like full heart and soul fans all the time. And then the Jays, again, the bandwagon crew, it's great, and the energy was fantastic. But I think Buffalo, like, when I say that town lives and breathes the Bills and the Sabres, like, I think it'll be wild. It'll just be wild to be down there to see the energy of that entire city. Like, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. And I've got a good feeling. We're going to do it. Yeah, fingers crossed, Ron. You're right. But I think we'll take a little break. We'll come right back and we'll wrap this up.
Nice.
That was great, guys.
Man, you got me all excited about it, dude.
Oh, man.
That itinerary, right? I know.
And Ryan, like, if it comes to pass, like, I can, you know, I'll be there early as you want me there. I can go to Buffalo because it's like an hour.
I'm almost positive I'll have at least a crew of three other guys that want to go down Saturday night. Yeah. So at least one room is getting down there early. And then,
well, if I'm going to come Sunday morning, I'm going to come Saturday night. Like, I'll just put my kids to bed and drive over.
Yeah. No, it's going to be so good.
Yeah.
And then, what are we wrapping with here? We're talking, say that again.
The memes.
Oh, that's right. The memes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you guys ready to go?
Yeah, how do you want to do this? You want to just do like a rotating, like we each have three, like we'll just keep rotate through, or two or three, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, that sounds good. Three sounds good to me, Ron.
Okay.
Okay, let's let's do it. All right, we're back, and we're going to wrap this up with just a little bit of a chuckle, something that us 40-year-olds can laugh about. It's interesting, as we've gotten older, when we were young, we used to sit around and we'd watch The Simpsons, or we'd watch hilarious movies like Wedding Crashers and Anchorman and Billy Madison and you name it. And it was almost a competition to sit around and spout off different quotes and just make each other chuckle whenever we could assign a quote from one of these shows to something hilarious that was happening around us. But now that we're all getting up there and we've got kids and we're not hanging out the same way that we used to, we've got some action happening on our Instagram. And sometimes I am like literally shaking the bed with laughter when I'm doing those late night doom scrolls next to Megan. And she, you know, she'll give me a little elbow, little shot to the ribs to cool it. Cause I'm chuckling so hard, and we're going to talk about some of our favorite memes, our favorite things that get attached to these different quotes that we see around. And some of them might age us, but I think there's going to be some good ones here. So I'm gonna throw to you, Branks. Why don't you get us started with maybe your favorite, or are you going to give us all three of yours? What do you?
I'll start with one, and then I can pass next, because I don't want to. I feel like if I go three, I might overlap. So I'll choose my favorite one, and then we'll go from there. But you know, one that I just absolutely love to use with any friend groups, work people, because it's not that controversial, is when you get like some good news from somebody or something good happens, whether it's like directly to you or you adjacent or like a team you follow, and you react with the Antonio Banderas looking at the computer screen, where he like looks at the screen and realizes it's something awesome, and then like leans back in his seat and like kind of like kisses his hand and just can't believe what he's read. And it like, and I think that's from like an old movie, like, well, relatively old, I guess, in like the 90s. So he's on like some old, you know, shitty box computer. But it just, it always cracks me up. And I feel like it's like a crowd pleaser as a reaction to like somebody's message to you. It just, I don't know. It always makes me smile using it. I just hope it does for everybody else when I do it.
No, that's a good one. Ron, you want to follow up? You got one?
Yeah. I got one that we all love, and I know we've all used dozens of times in our life, but it's the Dr. Phil kind of disbelief. Oh. Like, shaking back as he leans back, like just like dumbfounded that this, like something, whatever he heard from that stupid person.
I totally forgot about that, dude. I love hearing those, and I love seeing them like just like that. Just remind you of the fucking, oh god, that's so good.
That's great.
Rye, what do you got?
I'm going to go old school. This one's been around for a long time, because I know that a couple of my others are probably going to come up too, but I really like the Kermit the Frog sipping tea. Like, you know, when it's something that you know they should have admitted that they were wrong, but they didn't, that I told you so moment. And it's just a little clip that's always under a quote that gets slapped on somebody, or... But there's nothing better than seeing that Kermit the Frog just lift that teacup and just the sort of plain Jane, no expression, sipping that mug. Because there's so many times in my day with students, with other staff, where I just want to sit there and like just lift my coffee mug up and be like, yeah, yeah, you fucking idiot. Like just sneak into my coffee mug and do that sort of I told you so moment, because... God, I withhold. I don't do that very often, but God, I want to so badly sometimes. And that Kermit the Frog, I told you so, that little tea to the lips is one of my absolute favorites. And it can go on almost anything that's one of those I told you so's.
Is it me again?
Yeah, Branks, what you got for us,
buddy? Yeah, another one that I just... love using for, you know, if it's like an opinion I don't like, or news that's like unsavory or something that like grosses me out, is the Dumb and Dumber Jim Carrey clip of when he's like throwing up in his mouth, where like it's like a couple of times where he keeps building, where he like looks like he's just like dry heaving. I just think that's like peak acting, but also just like it's always just such a visceral reaction to some bad thing I've heard or something that I don't like that's happening. It's just that reaction. And I don't know, Jim Carrey's so freaking funny that can apply to just about anything, but for bad news, it doesn't get any better, I feel like.
That open mouth, that chipped tooth. Can you remember what was the scene that happens? Oh, it's from the cop that drinks his piss, right? Because they've got the bottles of piss in the middle of the mutt van as they're driving down the hallway, and the cop pulls them over and insists on drinking their beer. Is that what it's from?
Oh, there's that. But no, is it not when he finds out that Harry is with the girl?
Oh, that's right. His heart's broken.
His heart's broken. Yeah. And then he's leaving. He's leaving the fucking cottage in Aspen. And he's just a star. I think that might be
God, there's a movie that I need to rewatch. I haven't watched that one in a long time. Ron, you got another one for us, buddy?
Yeah, I got two that are similar. I'll share just one, and I'll be curious if you guys mention the other one that's just like this. But it's the clown makeup progression meme with the four, like, it's just a blank face, and then he's putting on the makeup, and then like the four photos, and then whatever you want to do. But it's just basically you're a clown. And you should have known better, whatever the saying is, or whatever you want to put to the pictures. Yeah. That one gets a lot of run, man. I love that. Whenever you find a good one of those that you come up, for me, that's a classic.
That's great. The one that's recent that I'm getting on right now, and I know it's a popular one. It's this, the John Hamm in the club with the music going and his head swaying. And you can slap almost any like cured meat in front of that, or golf happening in front of that, or right, like you flush your 9-iron from 165 out and put it within 3 feet of the cup, and then John Hamm waving his head about. Like there's so many instances where that is the feeling, and it makes me chuckle and think like, yeah, that would be real nice. So I'm liking that John Hamm one that's floating around now, but it's getting used a lot. So I'm sure my love for it'll fizzle soon. But Branks, you got another one for us?
My last one is another one that's quite common for just kind of like very convoluted or having to like do lots of like work to do something. Is that one from Always Sunny in Philadelphia with that Charlie guy? Like he has that board with like all the different lines, and he's like clearly like wired and like, trying to like explain things. And I always find that like super, 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 super funny. And it just kind of like taps into this like kind of nervous energy of having to figure something out. You've done like research to do something.
Branks, you could have slapped that meme on me trying to figure out which hotel to book for Buffalo. Like I was, well, which bars where, and which club should we, like, where's this brewery? Where's that brewery? How close is it to like the City Hall? How close is it to Main Street? And just lines on a map, man. Lines on a
map. That's all I got.
Ronnie, baby, you got one last one?
All right. I just want to say, just Vince McMahon related memes and gifts are just beautiful things.
Anything.
Beautiful things that man has gifted us. Whether it's just the gif of him walking down the strut with the arms going is just beautiful. But then there's also the progression meme of his face, where he's just like kind of smirking, and then he's looking like all like he's like really getting excited. And then the last one at the bottom is him just like mouth agape, just like curling back over his chair. That I love.
He's got some good ones out there. My last one isn't just one, and I'm gonna go on a little bit and give you guys a theory as to why these ones are so popular with guys our age. But anything Leonardo DiCaprio related just seems to hit perfectly. Like, whenever someone slaps one of those on, I know that it's just going to go perfectly with whatever quote they put above or whatever little video they attach to it. And, you know, it's the ones where he's from Django and he's, you know, lifting his glass, or where he's sitting on the couch and he does the little whistle and the point, or this new one that he's got with the Mexican whistle and the let's go. And then they just made a joke that at the Golden Globes, he's got another one coming that'll be hilarious. And like, here's my theory behind why, because I see him on the memes that we share with each other all the time, and why he resonates with our age so badly. So he is our age. Literally, he's like in his early 40s, but we are living vicariously through this guy. He's running around single, no kids, literally dating any woman he likes under the age of 25, just living the dream, pretending to be all of these different things. And all we can think of is like, yep, I would do that. Like, that thing he's doing, I would do that thing. That thing he's doing, I would do that thing. That thing he's doing, I would do that thing. And it's easy to slap that sticker on all of these jokes that we send to each other, because I would do that thing. And I feel like he's the poster boy of that phrase. Like, yep, sign me up. I'll get behind whatever he's putting his name on. So yeah, anything Leo always seems to hit me right in the feels, right in the funny bone.
The one from Inception with him, the scene.
Yes.
And then it's like the devil on the shoulder, and they had like that kind of portrayal. Yes. Where you got what's his face behind him, and then the Asian guy, like, how can you guarantee this will work? I can't. But
so I can. Good. It's so good. But yeah, they always warm my heart. Warm my heart when I see a little what do you call that arrow on Instagram? Is it a paper airplane? Like, what is that thing?
Oh yeah.
When it's lit up, I'm always excited to see what you guys have sent me. Always makes me smile.
You're good at it. You're an all-star. Right?
I like to find some good ones, but my algorithm's all fucked up, so I get some weird and different shit that some of you guys have never seen. So
that's the downside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now that we know.
All right. Yeah. Well, that was a good one, guys. We kept it relatively short. I might even be able to thread this under an hour, but another successful evening, another good podcast, and we've got a schedule. We're getting together to do this sooner rather than later, so we'll talk again soon, boys.
Great to be back, boys.
Yeah, have a great night.
Take her easy.